Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 20 edition of Commodity Week. Well, this was a week of waiting, a little rainfall, and some early harvest. We'll try to figure out what it means and what's next for the crops today on Commodity Week.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Wagner. He's the president of GWX Ag Advisors out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today include Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Well, let's begin our discussion with this question. It seemed to be, at least in the corn pit, a week for marketing time, or rather marking time. What do you suppose the next week and the following week will look like as we head into the very, very beginnings of the harvest season? Ellen Dearden.
Looks to me like December corn consolidated between 445 and about 474. And seasonally, we typically get down into the very first part of October, and I think that's kind of the bent we're looking for at this stage of the game, down into that six-week low.
And Pete Manhart?
I think we will go as harvest increases right across the Midwest here, not much of it, but as we go further south, it's moving north, and the yields that we're hearing are really good in both corn and beans, and I think as a result of that, it's a little later than harvest than normal, so we might have a little later lows than normal during this harvest season.
And Matt Bennett.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with both of them. I do think that we're probably looking at a little bit weaker market, especially in the corn, as far as I'm concerned, and I think a lot of that has to do with actually getting some corn in the system now, and some people are able to get their hands on corn that's been wanting to get their hands on it for a while. And like Pete said, I think some of the yields are coming in a little bit better than expected. There's still a lot of variability out there, and it's awfully early, though.
Matt, you're sitting this week in Windsor, Illinois, because harvest has begun there. What's it look like for the first few days of the harvest season?
Well, you know, we've been taking corn here for about 10 days. We started out kind of slow last week, and then we hit it pretty hard this week. A lot of guys got in the field. There was some early premium, kind of like we were talking about the Farm Progress Show. Not only was there a pretty good push on the cash, but there was also good drying deals. And most of the corn's coming in pretty good shape. I'd say our average moisture's in that 26-27%. We've been really surprised to see corn down to the 22-23 area. And I think that so far, I think it's going fairly smoothly. And I think guys are kind of excited maybe to get in there and cut beans next week and then see how much the corn's dried down here in a week, 10 days.
I'd like to set the stage just a bit for corn still. I talked to Ben Pruce Friday afternoon at the Andersons in Everly, Iowa. That's in the northwestern part of the state of Iowa. They were 55 over for their harvest corn early ship. I'm wondering where you are at this time.
Oh, we're 10 over. Yeah. We've just been kind of collapsing with a lot of other people here in central Illinois in the last few days. In fact, you know, I've had farmers say, I can't hardly keep track of what your basis is. And I said, well, you almost need to call every 5 minutes because it's been moving target, you know. And I think the main thing for a lot of these guys is to get any early premium whatsoever topped with, you know, the drying deal. seemed to be a kind of a no-brainer, and I think a lot of guys were taking advantage of that. But certainly those guys in that area, I think they're going to have a chance to pick up there in Iowa at those levels, and I think the early guys are going to get it, and it's going to change quickly once this, you know, once corn starts rolling in.
They do have five ethanol plants in the immediate area that they can service, so he said that they were waiting for the ethanol plants to call as well. So they're taking a bet, I suppose, mm-hmm. there. After October 10th, I believe they were 20 under. What are you for later shipment?
Same thing.
Okay, so that sets the stage for what cash basis looks like. Now, Ellen, when you think about this process, the early part and the later part, what do producers do, if anything, if they can get into the field?
Into the field right away, then you go ahead and ship it. But I think otherwise we're going to see a lot of corn go into storage. My biggest fear is that a producer will put it in storage and forget about it, and that doesn't seem to be the thing to look at all.
Do you agree with that?
I think a lot of people are going to put it in storage. I would sell it, and if you want to re-own it, wait till heavy harvest or when we think harvest lows are in, and those could easily be 50 lower than we are or more. And then buy it back, either on the board or with calls.
Before we get back to Matt on this question, are you both on the sell it across the scale now, what you can get for quick ship, or is that just sell it across the scale, across the board when you're looking?
No, I'm looking at the quick ship situations. There's still some of those out there.
Yeah, and
otherwise not, no.
Store it.
Store it.
I'm looking at selling anything and everything, thinking that the better corn yields are going to continue, and we've got a lot of downside yet. And then if you want to reopen it when we think we're down on lows, re-own it.
Matt?
You know, I think the one thing that I really want to point out is I think we're a little bit dependent upon guys' insurance situations, because at these levels, especially if their yields aren't tremendously higher than what their APH is, really there's not a huge incentive to go ahead and push in sales this far into the insurance price, because as it drops, obviously, your insurance situation is going to improve. And so, you know, I don't know if I can get an early ship with guys. If they can get some early premium, I'm all about it. But otherwise, I'm not sure that I'm wanting to push it too hard.
December corn this week, by the way, had a high of $4.68.5, a low at $4.50.5, settlement price there at $4.51. Finished 8 cents lower, December of next year at $4.90.75. Down 7 3/4 of a cent. Do you do anything with that which you're storing, or are you just waiting it out, Ellen?
I am definitely waiting things out. Looking at the first week of October as the earliest time that I would re-own anything if I had sold stuff on these early premiums.
What do you see as downside objectives during the gut slot of harvest?
4 1/4.
I see it down near the 4, 4.10.
Matt?
Yeah, I think anywhere in that area. I think it's anybody's guess, but by all means, I think after this early round of harvest, most people's downside objectives have gotten just a little bit lower, and I'd probably be in that same camp of 4 1/4, maybe a shade under.
And Matt, what are you thinking about total size of the crop? Informa's numbers were a little bit bigger this week than they were the previous time, and they're bigger than USDA's for total production and ending stocks as well.
You know, I think that the acreage is going to have to shrink some. I just can't see any way around that. But I also think that the national yield could obviously grow just a little bit here. And so total crop size, I'm not going to grow it any in my camp, but I'm certainly not going to get a whole lot smaller like I was thinking before. You know, if I was going to shave a couple hundred million bushels off of it, I don't think I could, you know, I would probably be okay with that, but not much more.
Yeah, I would agree on that. Shaving a bunch of acres off, but with the yields where they're at, I don't see the carryout being below $1.6 billion. I don't really see them going up much either, but $1.6 billion to $1.8 billion is pretty hard on prices.
When I look at the world situation, it sure looks like everybody wants to talk about all the bean acres that are come about, and we may end up having quite a few, just a few corn acres planted in South America. So I hate to be too bearish over a long extended period. We may see a bounce sometime as we get into the spring.
So you're thinking January, February, or are you actually thinking spring as in
no,
March,
January, February, because the market's just going to anticipate so much.
And do we need any battle for acres, in your opinion?
A battle for acres in the U.S.?
Yes.
Right now, I mean, the battle is only plant beans, plant beans, plant beans.
Yeah, so corn, and no reason to bother with corn at this time?
Doesn't, the market's not telling you to do that.
I suppose, Matt, you think producers will plant beans, plant beans, plant beans?
Well, here's what I want to caution guys against. You know, when you look at the nearby, we've been flirting with this 3-to-1 ratio from beans to corn as far as the Nova and Dease goes. But, you know, if you want to go out there farther out into next year's fall delivery months, you're looking at more like a 2.3-to-1, and so that doesn't suggest to me that I need to go hog wild on beans, and I'm not so sure that we're looking at this absolutely correctly. And I think Ellen's got a good point in that, you know, whenever everyone's saying that South America is going to plant this huge bean crop, maybe we ought to be not so quick maybe to sell this next year's corn crop too short.
Well, let me give the comparisons here. December of this year for corn at $4.68 and a half. November beans at $13.75 and a quarter. December of next year for corn at $4.90 and three quarters, but November beans at $11.71 and a half. So that spread isn't nearly so wide.
Yeah, and what's really odd about the corn one is next year's corn is 35 to 45 cents higher than this year's corn, and that's an oddity in itself, and you might want to take advantage of that a little bit on next year's crop. But again, what are the acres going to be? Right now it's telling us beans are better, but next year's prices are telling us, nah, we better stay where we're at.
All right, next year's prices for soybeans again. The November contract at $11.71 and a half. It was up a half on the week. The November on the nearby or the harvest month at $13.75 and a quarter for its high. The low at $13.11 and three quarters. November beans settled 66 and a quarter cents lower, Ellen, at $13.15 and a quarter cents. So it's narrowing up the spread between the corn and the beans this week.
Yeah, they sure have. But don't forget, the November beans really took off and the Dease corn really didn't do much of anything on that last rally. You know, we're talking about Nove beans down 60 cents for the week, but we're still, relatively speaking, at a good price for beans.
We are at a good price for beans. It did go down, Matt, and fill the gap that was left, but it didn't really bounce up after that. Is that good or bad news?
Well, I think a lot of people would view it as being bad news, but, you know, from my vantage point, just looking at this, you know, partially from an agronomic situation, I think this corn crop was a lot farther along whenever we had such stress show up late in the season, a lot farther along than what the bean crop was. And a lot of these guys that are cutting early beans are saying, you know, they're pretty happy with their bean yields, but they're awfully worried about their later beans. And I really want to caution guys, if they're cutting a 3.0 bean that's making 55 bushel, I really hope that they're not planning on their 4.0s making 50 bushel, because I'm not so sure it's in the cards this year. I'm a little bit worried about these late beans.
Yeah, a lot of places had no rain in August. Now, we did have good subsoil moisture, but those later planted beans could easily be 20, 30 bushel difference than the early beans. And as we go north and west, some of this corn that was planted late could be a lot lower than all this early corn that we're hearing about in the 220 to 250 areas all over a lot of areas.
And, Matt, what are your bids for beans over the scale today?
Over the scale today, you know, we've got about a 30-cent push, but we'd be running maybe 10 to 15 over the board.
So the market in general and the basis both are telling producers, if they harvest beans, to go ahead and make the sale.
The market's definitely telling guys to make the sale, and I've had guys say, well, if you really think that this bean crop isn't there, and a lot of these guys agree with me, you know, why are you wanting us to sell? But I think that that's where a guy needs to get a little creative, and if the market's asking him to sell, go ahead and sell. And then there's a lot of things you can do to re-own beans, and you may not want to just buy them straight up on the board, but, you know, buy a couple calls.
The problem that I see with re-ownership of beans at this stage of the game is most of the producers that I talk to think they want to buy July, that there's going to be a lot of upside all the way through the winter and the spring. And I think that if this thing's going to bounce, it's probably going to bounce here to the end of the year. And so I'd rather be buying January or buying maybe March calls, going out no further than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go further than the March, and I'd look at January. Because once that harvest is over, where are they going to get them at? And by the time our harvest is over, South American beans will about be shipped out too. So there just won't be any from South America if there are available now.
And by the time our harvest is over, we'll be watching, I suppose, Ellen, the planter's role in South America.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we're seeing some dryness in that Mato Grosso region, also in Argentina. But Brazil is such a huge country that certainly the planters are going to be able to go pretty quickly in some areas.
Okay. And finally, the best set of advice that each of you might have for a producer, because we are headed just into the beginning of the harvest season for both corn and soybeans. And we'll start with you, Pete Manhart.
If you can lock in anything on early stuff, do it. And then depending on your situation, go from there. And don't re-own anything until we get into the dead harvest where we think we've seen lows.
I would say if you've got storage, figure on putting corn in storage and not storing any beans.
And Matt?
Yeah, I would say any sort of early premiums you can get your hands on, by all means, be a taker of that. And then, you know, as far as your beans go, I think whenever you're cutting beans, if you can't make money at $13 and something, then don't sell them. But I sure think the guys can be profitable there, so take your profit and run.
Some other numbers from Chicago this week. July wheat settled at $6.57. It was up a penny. The October live cattle posted an outside up week at $125.95 on their settlement price, up 70 cents. The October feeders at $160.22.5 were up 95 cents. And October hogs at $90.05 on an outside down were down 65 cents.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The hot, dry weather continued for most of Illinois this week, but a few areas did see more than an inch of rain, including an area between Quincy and Galesburg, an area just northeast of St. Louis, and much of northern Illinois north of I-80. Temperatures were in the 80s and low 90s at midweek, but began to moderate by the end of the week. The U.S. Drought Monitor expanded the area of D0 abnormally dry conditions into south-central Illinois and expanded the D2 severe drought area just north of Galesburg. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate that high pressure will dominate this week with cooler temperatures and few chances for rain. Daytime highs on Saturday and Sunday will be in the upper 60s in the northeast and in the 70s for the rest of the state. Overnight lows on Saturday and Sunday will be in the upper 40s and low 50s. Like last week, a warming trend is expected by Wednesday and Thursday with the highs in the low 80s and nighttime lows in the 50s and 60s. There's no significant chance of rain in the coming week. The 6 to 10 day forecast is for above average temperatures and near average precipitation. The 8 to 14 day forecast is for near average temperatures and above average precipitation. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
This is the September 20 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from his office in Windsor, Illinois, is Matt Bennett, is one of our panelists from TGM. Ellen Dearden is here in the studio from AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And on the other phone line from Chicago, our guest is the president of GWX Ag Advisors out of Chicago, Greg Wagner. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time. Producers, or rather marketers in Chicago, I suppose, were watching this week and the numbers that were coming in from the fields, thinking to themselves, this is a pretty good sized crop. Maybe. Are they convinced yet that the corn is in the field?
You know, it's a pleasure to join you, Todd. There's no question that yields are coming in better than expected, and one would think that, you know, that trend will continue. Also, my personal observation would be that you would look for the October 11th crop production report to see an increase in both corn and soybean yields.
So does that mean production's up, or are you going to shuffle acres?
That means you could shuffle acres as well as increase yield, and ultimately you're looking at increased production.
If we have 2 million less acres of corn, or 2.5, and 1.3 million less of beans, even with increased production, will total production be higher?
Yes. And if you look, Pete, at the track record for FSA numbers as opposed to what USDA comes out, there's fairly big variation. It could go anywhere from negative to positive, and I that's my conviction.
How do they get those numbers? I mean, they're never even close, it doesn't seem like. I mean, was it last year they actually raised acres at the end of the year after saying we had 2 million less? Is there anything that anybody can do about how they count?
You'd have to ask the FSA. They're the ultimate arbiters.
So great.
And I would make this observation, you know, based on the price activity, and I have really focused on, you know, obviously in the case of soybeans, you focus on the November contract. If you look at my real beeline laser sight, has been on new crop soy meal, the October soy meal contract, which in fact has been, if you take a look, it has been the leader of the complex. And obviously, soybeans get their value out of their products, and soy meal is the most valuable product there. But if you take a look, it just confirmed meal bottomed earlier than the soybean contract. It bottomed in May. Soybeans bottomed in, you know, July. And I'm talking about, you know, 2012. They had both the October soy meal as well as the November soybean contract had contract highs hit on September 14th of last year. Soy meal actually broke its new contract high, made a new contract high back in August 18th, and it was not soybeans that, you know, they challenged it high, but they never made a new high. And a lot of people have been really, really focused on this November chart and, you know, the gap at 1331. But if you take a look at the October soy meal contract chart, I mean, that gap was filled back on September 8th. So it was like a precursor of what was going to occur with soybeans themselves. That's kind of what I, you know, focused on here.
Right, right. So if I have the number right, and I don't have the chart in front of me, but I have it written down, I think October bean meal finished off $31.20 this week, right? So are you,
yes,
are you of a mind that beans have a lot more downward potential in them, or are you telling us something else?
Well, we're looking at, you know, Todd, I think we're looking at, we'll get traction, you know, technically about 1290 from what I look at historically, and this is like a kind of an index, what you would call a seasonal index, and it's based on a lot of factors, would suggest that soybeans themselves will bottom early. I would expect the bottom in soybeans somewhere by the end of October. The price level yet to be determined. We'll see what happens on October 11th. The corn market is a little bit different in, you know, perhaps as early as November. But, you know, as far as looking at technical levels, there's still a weekly gap in corn, December 13 corn, roughly about 432, and that extends back to, like, 2010. And that may provide some traction.
Greg, whenever you look at, obviously your production estimates are maybe a little bit, bearish, if you will. If you're talking to a producer, like we were talking just a little bit ago, obviously if he gets some early premiums, you want him to sell stuff. But are you looking, regardless, to go ahead and be moving some of the stuff that's coming across the scale just simply because of the size of the crop, first of all? And second of all, what if bean yield ends up closer to 40? And maybe there's a lot of people that are wrong about the bean yield, because I could see people being more wrong about the bean yield than the corn yield at this point.
Oh, yeah. There's greater variability in the bean yield. That's a very good question. As far as corn, you be a seller, you have an opportunity to re-own it. Mm-hmm. Just right out of the field. There's no reason to store corn.
Greg, you've talked a lot about the production report on October 11th, but you've made no comment so far on the grain stocks report on September 30th. That's been historically been a market mover. Will it be this year?
We're going to have to see how many bushels. That is the USDA's wild card in a notorious, as you say, Alan, market mover. I do not anticipate that report as having, if it should prove to be positive, price positive. I think the
meaning it agrees with the WASDE figures?
Excuse me?
Meaning it agrees with the WASDE figures from the month of September for ending stocks?
Price positive. The ending stocks number, and you're not going to really, there's nothing really you could do with as far as you're at pipeline right now with soybeans. So, any surprises that would be bullish that come out of that, I think would be short-lived.
What's your best set of advice for a producer today?
Sell corn immediately. You still have an opportunity to look at December corn at 491, 2014 at 491 looks like cheap. However, I would draw your attention to take a look at a December 2014 corn chart, and you'll see a massive double top in the life of the contract at 615, and that does not bode well. And I can't really, time will tell what's going on with that.
Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Wagner is with GWX out of Chicago, Illinois. A final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Matt Bennett.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate everything we've been saying all along. If you can take advantage of some things early on, I do so. I'm not quite as bearish on beans as some other people are, but do what's profitable on your farm.
Alan Dearden?
We've got carrying charges having developed in this bean market. It's a little bit negative.
And Pete Manhart.
Yeah, when you have January beans same price as November's, that doesn't look good. And I still think if you can sell corn at a profit, be ready to re-own it later.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.